Welcome to Roundhouse Roulette, a Walker, Texas Ranger podcast. Thank you for joining us as we recap and review one of the 200 existing Walker, Texas Ranger episodes, randomly selected by Roundhouse Roulette. I'm Evan Dalton, here with my brother Adam.
What's up?
And a man who once got Stockholm Syndrome from Freddy Krueger? There's a story there, I'm sure. Mr. Bob Leahy.
Hey guys, how's it going?
We'd like to thank you all for joining us as we review Chuck Norris's weekly action film from the 1990s. Today, we'll be recapping and reviewing Season 4, Episode 22, Deadline, where Walker races against the clock to save a captive teenage girl from certain death. This sounds vaguely familiar. I don't know. Maybe we'll get there. Anyways, before we grab our flannel shirts, our Uzis, and our gas masks, and then jump into our nondescript brown van and zoom off, join us as we pull up a stool at CD's Bar and Grill. Greetings, team.
Hey, man. Great to see you here at CD's.
I know. It's been a while. We might be celebrating an incredibly specific birthday for the Texas Rangers. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we missed Bob's birthday this week. Bob also shares a birthday with somebody mentioned in the movie Top Dog. We'll just leave it at that.
Fantastic.
What CD got for us to celebrate?
This appears to be an Otis Forever New England IPA. This is, again, from the West LA Brewing Company in Swansea, New Hampshire. Anyways, it's a New England IPA, so let's just give this guy a shot. Oh, this is good. It's very piney.
Well, the flavors that are being exposed to my palate here are sensational.
It's like somebody drug a pine cone across my tongue. Mm. Yeah, my wife and I finally broke out of the house and went out to eat. And it was kind of a surreal experience. But I asked them what they had on tap. And the woman was like, well, do you like IPAs? And I'm like, what do you have that isn't one?
Yeah, not much.
All they had, Allagash. So I got one of them. That's it was good. Delicious. And, you know, shout out to Michael Priest, you know, got an Allagash, which, you know, he was jamming on when we talked to him. So
that's right.
Wow. Well, it's good for variety. I mean, this Otis Forever, it may not be your bag, Evan, but I think Bob could probably crush this forever. Well, West LA, I think they did good with this one.
Any sweet mailbag or some news? What's going on here?
Yeah. So it's been a while since we kind of checked in with the man himself, Chuck Norris. Am I right?
I guess the last time was his trying to scam people into buying gold.
You can't just assume he's trying to rip people off. I mean, he might be helping them with their investments, dude. He's lending his likeness to sell something, right?
Anytime someone has a campaign where the only advertisements are featured in media that is consumed by people over the age of 75, it's a scam.
Okay. Well, I don't know how you knew that I was going to bring this up, but the topic of discussion is Chuck's latest shill. So here we go.
All right.
There's a video on his Instagram feed. We generally don't try to advertise for Chuck Norris, or, you know, we don't want to criticize the man. We're just going to let the video do that for itself here.
They say my roundhouse kick is so powerful, it can be seen from outer space by the naked eye. That may be true, but even I know my limits.
Chuck Norris, also known as the King of Memes, is famous throughout Hollywood for being a karate guru and action movie star. He first began his karate journey when he served in the United States Air Force as an air policeman. There, he learned what it takes to survive and how to be prepared for a crisis. Now Chuck is taking all of his experiences and helping to educate Americans about survival. Whether it's being prepared on a camping trip or during a national emergency, he's providing some important tips that everyone needs to know.
I want you and your family safe, no matter what happens in our crazy world.
Did the Tennessee Warblers play that music? Or
I wish he had contacted us. We would have definitely done the music for free for Chuck.
You know, I think he's slipping only because, I don't know if you guys caught it, but in that video, he's driving a truck and it's a Toyota. My world is shattered.
Yeah.
Shattered.
Well, his new product is called Roundhouse Provisions.
You gotta love the name.
Exactly. And it's essentially doomsday food. So it's like...
It's a prepper pack.
It has 13 meal types. So, you know, even for the pickiest of eaters, I'm sure it's good for you.
And apparently, you know, you keep it in your basement in case nuclear fallout, or you just don't want to go to the grocery store and you want to eat like horse food or something. I don't know.
$710 for 3 weeks?
Look, man, the assurance this provides you is priceless.
And I think I saw it last like 24 years.
Yeah, shelf stable for 25 years. I mean,
I like how they have a picture of it, but you can't really discern what it is. It looks like they put toppings on top of this meals ready to eat. And you're not going to have the toppings if there's nuclear fallout.
Yeah, they're very... they really don't want you to know what's in here.
Yeah, there's no real pictures of it.
Oh, here we go. It says the meals. Okay, they've got spicy habanero chili, creamy vegetable rice, beef-flavored fried rice, beef-flavored vegetable stew, Southwest enchilada, pasta primavera.
It also comes with a couple bottles of Pepto-Bismol, too.
You got to wash it down.
And a roll of toilet paper.
It says it's good for natural disasters. Okay. Travel emergency, civil unrest, and pandemics. So this kind of would have come in handy, yeah.
Yeah, they have a timeline here. It talks about the blackout in September 2011, Hurricane Sandy in 2012, the Texas ice storm in 2021. That's what he's really marketing for, you know. Well, all you have to do is add water, heat, and enjoy. Oh, every meal was created by gourmet chefs working with food scientists.
Wait. I want a meal that's made by Chuck Norris. Where does he come in here besides lending his name? He must have made the recipes, right?
No, he's been dining on the food of gourmet chefs for decades, Adam.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I want to eat like Chuck if he's eating this.
Yeah, he's definitely eating this. And the best way to heat these up is to pour some Seaforce water into them, obviously.
Yeah. I can't believe they didn't cross-pollinate with the Seaforce water.
And then you heat it up on the radiator of a Dodge Ram.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a Toyota. Come on now.
Yeah, jeez.
Well, Roundhouse Provisions has more followers than us on Instagram already.
Damn it.
So,
not surprising.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Disappointing, but not surprising.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to follow Roundhouse Provisions as...
Well, these seem really gross. I mean, a 1 week supply is $250. I would just want to buy one meal.
But I wonder, once you open it, though, is that when the timetable starts? If you open one of the Roundhouse Provisions doomsday buckets and you're looking to chow down to just try it to make sure you like the flavor before you order a different flavor.
Yeah, then you have to finish it all within a week or it all spoils.
That's probably what happens, yeah. But if you wait, you know, 20 years before you use it and you open it up and then you taste it and you're like, oh man, I should have gotten the Mexicali rice.
Right.
What was I thinking?
Yeah, they should offer some samples.
I think so. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, for anyone curious to see what Chuck's been up to, that looks to be his latest venture. And he's an entrepreneur on top of being a karate master. So you can't take that away from him. All right, well, maybe we can jump into the mailbag here. We actually had somebody reach out to us on our website, roundhouseroulette.com.
No way.
Yeah. Bob, do you want to field this submission?
Friend of the pod, Margaret, wrote in and said, just started listening and it's fun. She's enjoying the podcast, but I haven't seen one episode of the show and don't plan on it. But the commentary is fun. See, I can appreciate that. Hopefully we do a good job bringing the episode to life in this audio medium.
Vividly, I'm sure.
Yeah, she also said that she would give us a great rating, but she's biased because she used to babysit for us. And she said, we always went to bed when she said it was bedtime, so.
Oh, a couple of good kids, huh?
Little did she know that we were just going to bed to watch Walker on a TV upstairs. So, tricks on her.
Yeah.
We also had another purchase of a lovely Chuck Norris action figure. This is from the Karate Commandos. Refurbished action figures. We say refurbished because Adam cleans them himself with Q-tips. And it's great that he does that, because if I were in charge of this, I'd just put him in the dishwasher.
I gave it a little TLC before we put it up on our website to bring it to you guys, along with the action figure stand and Roundhouse Roulette sticker. But Katrina picked up one of these figures this week. She helped pay for a month of hosting of Roundhouse Roulette.
Or, you know, a month of meals.
Yeah, if someone wants to pitch in $750, we'll do a taste test on the podcast of the Roundhouse provisions.
Yuck.
Okay. All right. No takers yet here. No.
Thank you for helping keep the lights on.
Yeah, thanks, Katrina.
And last but certainly not least here, guys, we have a new patron who joined the elite ranks here, Michael Rooney, longtime listener.
Yeah, friend of the pod. Is this a pity patron?
Yeah, I think I've got some blackmail on him, but
yeah, I think that's got to be what it is.
Yeah,
I don't think we differentiate.
Oh no, I know. That's all speculation, of course.
But yeah, if anyone wants to support us, we have Patreon out there as well. Some special bonus content on there, and mainly though, it's just another way for you to help us out here at the show and keep. And what, again, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monumentally helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Looks like Mike sent a message to show his appreciation.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
He said, I'm sending a message to show my appreciation.
Wow, that was really heartfelt.
Yeah. Touching. Very touching.
Well, I'm really looking forward to dig into this episode with you guys, because a Robert Englund, a.k.a. Freddy Krueger, is the guest star. So maybe we should get to it here.
All right, let's do it. If you're watching along at home and don't want any spoilers, hit that pause button and watch Season 4, Episode 22, Deadline, and then come right on back to us. Oh, welcome back. Let's dig into this beast. This episode originally aired April 13th, so around this time of year, but in 1996. So, like what?
26 years ago.
Wow. And I will note that this is not a Michael Preece directed episode.
Mm.
And I kind of noticed some differences. Anywho, this one's got a cold open that drops you in the deep end. Just say that.
I actually restarted the episode. I was like, wait, did I miss something? Is something wrong with this recording?
Like, I actually started this twice, too, because yeah. You jump in and you're like, did the show just start? What's happening here? Dropped
right in there. Imagine you fell asleep during Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, woke up right now. Boom.
You'd be in a panic.
Very much so.
Well, we are mid-jewelry store heist.
And there's like a lot of these guys. Like usually you see like a jewelry heist, right? And there's like three guys, you know, because you don't want to like draw a lot of attention to yourself. I don't know. It seems like they had like 10 guys in black coveralls and masks robbing this one jewelry store.
I'm sure you guys noticed, but they are not wasting any second where they've got Robert Englund in here. So all the other guys are already wearing gas masks, but they make it a point to show Robert Englund within the first 5 seconds of the episode with his bare face before he puts on the gas mask.
Yeah. Like, this is going to get good, guys.
Right. They're like, we have a guest star. Check him out, please. Yeah. So, you know, really intense jewelry robbery. Pretty nuts. They get away with everything. They speed off in their ridiculous van, and they've got the spoils, not caught or anything. And transition from a moment of absolute chaos to perhaps another moment of chaos, which is a a celebration at CD's Bar and Grill. And it's been a while since we've been in there, so.
Yeah, it feels good to be back at the actual CD's Bar and Grill.
And at CD's, they are celebrating the birthday of the Texas Rangers, which you might say, wow, is it what, the 100th anniversary? Is it the 150th anniversary? No, it's the 155th anniversary.
Wait, so this actually kind of leads you to believe they do this every year.
I think they at least do it every five.
Right. And CD's like, well, actually, it's a point of contention that the Texas Rangers existed for 17 years prior to being established. So really, the anniversary is the 162nd.
Mm.
And everyone's like, dude, CD, come on. Who cares, man? We're just celebrating the Texas Rangers. Can't we just do that without arguing?
Well, you know, they're hanging out and just trying to have a good time in CDs. And CD gets a phone call, and it's one of his old fogey friends who's like, you got to turn on the TV. Check this out. And so they turn on the TV with some difficulty. It's a very deliberate sort of hold the clicker, point it directly at the TV at arm's length, and stare with great intent on hitting the on button. But he nails it.
Yeah, he actually turned the TV on.
And to the right channel, too, which this leads me to believe, as do other episodes, that in this universe, in the Walkerverse, there's only one TV station, and it's Channel 3.
Yeah, until we're proven wrong, we're just have to roll with it. It was probably the same station that was taken over in the episode The Patriot that we talked about previously.
Mm-hmm. And the same one that...
Behind the Badge.
Yep, Behind the Badge. And there was all the news coverage with the girl that was kidnapped.
And that was called 6 Hours.
Yes, in 6 Hours.
It's like we're testing our memory on these episodes.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah.
Good work, guys. Good work.
Anywho, the news anchor, she's like, and today on the 155th anniversary of the Texas Rangers. So, confirming all of Texas celebrates every 5 years, at least.
Oh, right. Yeah. Anniversary. We thought this was Texas just Rangers. At CD's Bar and Grill, but.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. It's huge. Basically, she's like, on the 155th anniversary, politicians are trying to shake things up. It could be their last anniversary. And cut to a senator who's, he's proposing some budget cuts, and his first little pet project is getting rid of the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, and I guess he must have intentionally chose the anniversary of the Texas Rangers to make this announcement?
Yeah, it's pretty harsh.
Yeah, it sounds like he wanted to ruffle some feathers.
Anyways, understandably, the party kind of dies down at that point, because how dare this guy suggest that?
Yeah, this guy comes in and he pees on their cake.
Pretty much.
He put out the candles.
He poops in the chili. Yeah, and I couldn't quite make it out. I'm pretty sure CD calls him a yippie.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that.
I thought he said hippie, but that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So then he calls him a yippie.
Yeah, neither one really makes sense.
So, you know, they're like, man, this could be the end of Texas Rangers as we know it. Cue the theme song and... episode begins. I mean, this one's a real banger, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've got this renegade jewel thief. We've got the Texas Rangers might be no more, that we might not have any more episodes of Walker Texas Ranger after this episode. Our life is in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This podcast's very existence is in the balance.
Well, we randomly select them, so we know there are 200 episodes.
Yeah.
I think we're all right.
Okay.
So anyways, after the credits roll, I mean, the senator, he comes across as cold and heartless, but in his limo, he's hanging out with his daughter, and she's saying she wants to date a boy.
He's like talking to her. He's like, oh, your mom would be so proud of you, you know, and is it her birthday or something? I don't know what's going on, but...
He says that to her every morning, dude.
Yeah, I think they were just trying to say that, oh, the mother passed away previously, so he's a single dad raising his daughter.
Anyways, they just sort of established that this daughter exists. And, you know, for any of you out there wondering, and if any of you have seen 3 episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger, you know that in the 40-some-odd minutes that an episode is comprised of, there is no room for extraneous characters and stories. And if someone's introduced, there's a decent chance they'll be put in peril pretty soon. So you are forewarned. Back in Ranger headquarters, it seems like Trivette's preparing for some testimony or whatnot, and he's asking why Walker doesn't want to show up to this hearing that the senator is holding to sort of ask for people to give some evidence for support for the Texas Rangers. And Walker's like, I don't need to defend something that doesn't need defending.
Yeah, interesting way to put it there. Mm-hmm. I mean, true, of course, but...
Yeah.
You know, and Trivette goes on to say, when you need to make budget cuts, you trim the fat, but we're the muscle.
Yeah. The hearing is very weird. Obviously, Alex is chosen to defend the Texas Rangers. And when the senator starts up the hearing, he introduces her, and there's this weird exchange of glances that...
Camera just stayed on her way too long, and she was
Yeah, they're like giving each other the Google eyes, and, you know, he's clearly over the loss of his wife and looking to rebound. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
So anyways, he's, you know, asking for defense, and the first witness is Trivette, and, you know, as Bob said, Trivette's like, if you want to cut millions of dollars, you could do the same thing by, you know, cutting out the governor's office.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, when you want to make budget cuts, you cut out the fat. Rangers aren't fat. They're muscle.
And then the whole court's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, get your total gem out front. Yeah. Meanwhile, Walker, he's out doing his job instead of testifying in this hearing.
Yeah, he's cleaning up the streets.
Right. And so there's another robbery going on. And we see them bust into this other robbery. And they like blow up a door and then run into this building. But it looks like they're running into a cardboard box. Like it... It's definitely not a jewelry store.
Yeah, that like was weird.
The back of a brick building with like this impromptu built like square wooden entryway. They blow it up and run in. You don't see them inside at all. And then they run back out and Walker is on the case and a car chase ensues. And they like blitz off. This time it's only four guys, I think.
Yeah.
That did this robbery.
Same sweet van, though.
Right. They jump into this ridiculous van.
Squealing in this car chase. This car chase was pretty epic, was it not?
Great car chase. Really good. I keep going back to other episodes. What's the episode where... remember the one where they ambush Walker and take his truck and leave him out in the Badlands, but then he kicks the guys out and then... throws them all back in the back of his truck and flies back.
Tribe? Was that Tribe?
I don't remember.
Yeah, was he hung up, strung up with the water? Was that one?
No, that's a different one.
Oh, Jesus. No.
This one where he does the double kick on the two bad guys when they go check on him in the bed of his truck. But then he ties those guys up and in theory is taking them into custody by way of like a shootout at this building. And he comes peeling in and does this giant jump in his truck. And I think we started discussing this in the podcast. Hilarious thing is he like jumps like 30 feet in this truck. And there, in theory, are three guys tied up in the bed of the truck. And that's exactly what's happening to the two bad guys in the back of this completely empty van.
Yeah.
They're like the dogs in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
just like getting whipped around in the back of this van as it's speeding around. But in this case, they've got machine guns and they're trying to shoot Walker's truck. There's a lot of stormtrooper marksmanship, but yeah, epic car chase for sure.
But yeah, so pretty much they get away though.
They don't quite get away. Walker actually is able to do a tactical strike with his vehicle.
Oh, that was sick. Yeah.
And cause a spin out of the van. And the guys in the van jump out and hijack another truck. But one of the bad guys is running to that truck. He's about to get left behind. And Walker does a super shot.
Yep. Gets him in the ankle or something.
Yeah, he lines up this guy and gets him right in the ankle.
And he falls over and the other guys get away in the stolen truck. And Walker's got a guy taking the questioning now.
Not only that... as the chase was happening, this bad guy played by Robert Englund was hanging out of this van shooting at him without a mask on. So, I mean, Walker got a fantastic look at him many times.
And you don't forget that face.
No. He's like, he looked like Freddy Krueger without the makeup. So, since he got such a great look, he's actually able to have Trivette whip together a nice little... Actually, no. He just looks through a bunch of photos.
Yeah, actually, can we go back to this? How did they get the photo of
Great question. I think they got the name of the guy that they captured, right? So they had that guy's information.
Got known associates or something.
And then I think they did the associates, and that's... But yeah, they're just like switching through mugshots of people.
Wait, is this the guy? Yep, that's him. Nailed it.
Yeah, Walker's like, oh, that's the guy from the bank robbery. Cool.
His name is Lyle Eckert.
Right.
So amidst this, the hearings are coming to a close. And as they're leaving, they interview Alex. And she's like, I'm pretty sure that the Texas Rangers are going to stay for good. Like, they're fantastic. We got this licked. And then CD feels the need to butt in with the reporters and basically
just yell at them.
Yeah, he just incoherently yells at them.
Don't I take the Rangers?
Yeah, yeah.
They're taking exactly. their jobs.
So they leave, and then the press mobs the senator, and he's like, well, you know, there was some really compelling testimony, and even I have to give it pause, and oh, here's my daughter. Let me introduce my daughter to you. She's the apple of my eye.
The love of my life.
Right, and she's like rolling her eyes. I'm thinking, what politician would ever volunteer, like, their personal life or their family or their, like, their child
into a hot button issue press conference.
What are you doing?
Right. And I think he gives her like a wet forehead kiss in front of the cameras too.
Oh, yeah. Well, if that caught our attention, guess who else's attention it caught? It catches Lyle Eckert's attention because that thing is on Channel 3 News. Every TV in Texas trained to Channel 3.
Everyone watches it. Yeah.
It's simpler that way.
Yeah. The jewelry robbers are all in their, in their warehouse, and they're, you know, they've got a table with a, I would say a thin smattering of prop gold.
Well, you know, they sold the good stuff, and they.
I would say that table was lacking maybe a quarter mil of stone, but.
Oh, that's how you say it? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, man. Come on. Get with it.
That's how T says it.
Yeah. Anyways, they're prepping to make the drop-off with their buyer or whatever, and Lyle sees this politician. And I should also say, on the news coverage, they mention, oh, he lives in this $40 million estate or something like that. Oh, and here's his daughter. It's like the news. The news just teed it up as like, oh, this is a kidnap target. Kidnap and extort. Connect the dots, please.
Well, here's a plot line that I think you were trying to avoid talking about, Evan, but no, I'm just going to jump right on right on it here, because there was some weird chemistry between the senator and his daughter, right?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say something, but No.
We got to jump on this grenade. This is what the podcast is all about.
Dealing with tough issues.
So after the press conference, the daughter and the senator are often, like, I guess, the stairwell of,
the courthouse, right, or something. That's right. They have the talk. I totally meant to miss that.
Yeah, dude. Well, I don't know what is happening that we saw. I certainly wasn't expecting the words that came out of their mouths to happen in a Walker Texas Ranger episode. But essentially, I guess they're going to the car or whatever, and the daughter's like, Dad, I want to go out with a boy this week or something like that, right?
He knows she's going on a date. And oh, yeah. So
Previously in the episode, earlier in the limo ride, she had asked her dad, hey, you know, I want to go out on a date tonight with somebody. And he's like, oh, I don't know. I'll let you know later.
Right. And so she's catching up with him later. And he's like, wait, this boy's 18? He's like, you should be dating someone your age. And she's like, he is my age.
Yeah, she's 16, apparently. And he's like, well, guys that age, you know, they're going to want certain things.
And she's like, you mean sex?
And I'm like, whoa, what?
And the viewer just cringes.
Bob, no. The typical viewer is asleep at this point. There hasn't been an explosion for quite some time.
That's a good point, yeah. They've dozed off.
The dad's like, well, you know, yeah, you know, well, yeah, sex. And she's like, oh, it's cool, Dad. I'm on the pill.
Did she say that?
She did. And he's like, oh, all right. Wait, what?
I totally missed that.
She's like, oh, I'm kidding.
She didn't say she was kidding, right?
She did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Man, you guys missed all of this. My God.
We missed everything.
So that was her joke.
Okay. That's a pretty risque joke for Walker, though, you know?
No, it is. It really is. Anyways, yeah.
When we were talking about things that go nowhere, that actually was totally pointless. Other than to creep you out into, like, this weird, weird dynamic between the daughter and the senator that, is really weird.
No, that is odd. They had a very odd exchange, for sure. The bad guys see the news, and they waste no time. The next day, they pull up a creepy stalker van outside of this Catholic school and basically kidnap the senator's daughter while she's hanging out with her two other friends. They basically throw her in the van and drive off. Did you guys notice that one of the girls throws her backpack at the van?
I had to rewind it. Yeah.
I was like, all right, you do that.
Yeah. Like there are other kids out there that is, I guess it's right outside the school when the van pulled up and the van pulls away and someone throws their backpack at the van as if that's going to do anything.
Yeah. Well, no, they're being proactive. And one of the friends immediately runs in to call for help. So that's pretty insane. And, you know, obviously the dad comes onto the scene and the Texas Rangers are there already. And he's like, I don't want any Rangers in charge of this investigation. I want the FBI. And the FBI is there already. And so he meets the FBI agent and Walker and Trevette exchange this glance. It's like, this guy has no idea how things work.
Right. Well, he's like, you're going to refuse any help? Like, just because you're trying to shut down the Texas Rangers, you don't want them to save your daughter?
Yeah, I would say like, hey, you know, you guys are on the chopping block. Prove your worth right now.
Yeah, exactly. You have to, yeah.
Not, no, I hate you.
Right, right.
Talk about
right.
bad timing, you know?
Right. Now, who knows? Maybe in his mind, he thinks the Texas Rangers organized this whole thing so that they could be the hero.
Oh, it's possible. Yeah. That's a political thriller right there.
I'm actually going to view this episode from that lens.
It might make it better. You're right.
All right. So the FBI agent's like, yeah, okay, we're on the case. And the dad's like, great, okay. And then he just leaves. And the FBI agent turns to Walker and Trevette's like, so what do you guys have?
Yeah.
They're like, well, a girl saw them, saw the kidnappers. So we're going to go do a composite. And he's like, cool, keep me posted. And that's it.
Right. He's and Walker and Trevette are standing there beside two girls who witnessed them.
So, you know, we get to see our favorite thing again, which is Trevette plugging away on his computer. We get to see it twice with Walker looking over his shoulder. And I realized that this is a trope that we see a lot in Walker, but it's something that we saw first in Lone Wolf McQuade.
The composite sketch or his...
No, just one of Chuck Norris's characters impatiently staring over the shoulder of a subordinate that's toiling on a computer.
Yeah, because he's like, I need the information the computer has, but if I touch one of the keys, I'm going to break the key.
Right.
Situation.
Right. It's too delicate of a machine. Right. And my brain is full of too many things that are practical for me to have to learn how to use a machine like this. So... Anyway, so for the second time this episode, Walker is staring over Trevette's shoulder as he works on the computer. But in this case, it's a composite image that the girl's trying to put together of the kidnapper. And she's describing who this is.
Trevette's getting some serious detailed, you know, composite sketch via this MS Paint computer program.
Do you think they just, like, had a couple pictures of Robert Englund that they put some pieces in?
Yeah, they had it and they traced it in Paint. Because they're like, literally, it looked like him right away. And she's like, oh, less hair.
Right.
So they have the two girls there who witnessed and saw the guy's face. And Trevette's trying to get the composite sketch together. And Walker goes, I wonder if it's the same guy who was robbing the banks earlier. And which we know, the viewer knows it's the same guy. But Walker just has a hunch. And he gets the picture and he shows it to the girls. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's him. But if you ever do anything like that, you have to do like a lineup. You need to get a bunch of different pictures. So it's not just like, oh, is it this guy? Oh, yeah, that's him.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, particularly if it's a mugshot of someone who's a criminal.
Yeah.
And it's the only picture you're being shown.
Exactly.
Yes.
They only showed one photo of the girls and they're like, oh, yeah, that's him.
Sloppy police work right there, for sure.
But, you know, Walker's never wrong. He can get away with that. But any normal human being would, you know... You'd be in some hot water.
Or they'd shut down that branch of the government.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, had the Texas Rangers been under extreme scrutiny, he probably would have done something else, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
No, he wouldn't. So, okay, now the connection has been made, you know. Positive ID, it's Lyle Eckert, who's now shifted from stealing diamonds to... stealing the jewel of the senator's family, his daughter. And back at the senator's incredible estate, Lyle Eckert calls in.
This is very reminiscent of the 6 hours episode.
This is 6 hours.
Yeah.
Basically, they don't get anywhere with a phone call because in this case, the phone call is untraceable. It's basically like a giant flip phone that's got like a bunch of other stuff duct taped onto it to make it look high tech.
Freddy Krueger's using a scrambled cell.
Yeah, it's untraceable. Walker and Trevette show up and they're like, we have a positive ID on the suspect.
Yeah.
And the senator's like, no, I'm just going to give him the money. I'm going to give him $10 million. I just want my daughter back. And I don't want you involved in this at all.
Because at this point, he'd already made the devil's bargain with the kidnapper to trade money for her. So I can kind of see, you know, you might not want to rock the boat at that point. You know, if you've got this lined up and you've got the FBI in your corner, you know, you might not want to scuttlebutt things with the Texas Rangers, who they may be out to screw with you because you're trying to shut him down. So he's in a tough position.
Well, for sure. The FBI agent's all like trying to play it cool. And he's like, oh, hold on, Walker, as Walker and Trevette are leaving. And this is all happening in the senator's office, right? Right at the edge of the doorway where they're maybe 10 feet from the senator.
He's hard of hearing. So
he must be. He must have his hearing aids out or something. Because the FBI agent's like, I guess he's not aware that like 80% of the time the hostage gets killed.
I wonder why he's not aware of that FBI agent.
It's because he couldn't hear the FBI agent.
He's only hearing what he wants.
And Walker's like, well, what are you going to do? And the FBI agent's like, well, he's made it pretty clear that he, you know, what he wants. He just wants to exchange the money. And Walker's like, well, I didn't hear anything. And he's going lone wolf, but with Trevette.
Yeah. Lone wolf and Trevette.
So they try to shake down this jewelry thief that got shot in the heel. And he's doing remarkably well. He's just in an interrogation room, even though his foot has been shot off. But, you know, he's fine.
So we go back to Ranger headquarters now. And they're like, oh, well, remember the guy that Walker shot in the ankle? And he's primed and ready for interrogation? Let's interrogate him now.
Yeah. And they use amazing interrogation tactics.
This, I would say that this scene, the vibe of this scene is wildly off from the rest of the episode. It's like almost like you walked into like a comedy routine.
Yeah, it's like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something.
Exactly. Because Walker and Trevette are arguing with each other in front of the witness. And they aren't even really asking the witness any questions. But they kind of work the witness into a tizzy to say, oh, I'll cooperate with you.
Pretty much, yeah.
And they're like, wow, this guy just got left behind by his partners. And Walker's like, man, if you got shot, I'd never leave you behind. And Trevette's like, yeah, same, man. Like, we'd never leave each other behind. That's ridiculous.
They just wanted all the money for themselves.
I know. We're in it together thick and thin here. And the guy's like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, he like chimes up like, all right, guys, I'll tell you everything you need to know. But the vibe of it was like, usually Walker's, he's a stoic guy, but he's almost hamming it up.
It's sort of like a good cop, bad cop, but a different shtick, you know?
So the guy's like, oh, yeah, here's the address to our hideout.
And, you know, they take that information and they roll with it.
It's time for a good old-fashioned shootout.
Yeah. So they basically crash the party. And it's kind of cool how they do this. This, I don't know if this is a director thing or what, but kind of a cool shot that shows when Walker shows up. The bad guys are talking around the table. And we see the truck pull up and Walker get out of the truck, like, through the doors, which is pretty cool. Like, that's not something we typically see.
Yeah. And what I thought was kind of funny was, like, all of a sudden they see him and Robert Englund's character is like, it's Walker! Yeah. We didn't know that he knew his name.
That's true. How does it...
We know how he knows who he is.
Well, I guess not. Well, they had a shootout before, so... Well,
no, he doesn't necessarily know the guy's name.
True. Yeah, it's weird.
But, I mean, it's Walker. He's probably already in the Texas Ranger Hall of Fame. At birth, he was.
Right, and Lyle Eckert's been in jail before, so I'm sure in the local jails, everyone knows who Walker is. You know, he's sent half the people in there. And that's why whenever there's an undercover thing in prison, he has to send Trevette in because everyone knows Walker.
Right. Right. Yeah. There is that episode like that Walker rips off face off and Chuck Norris gets a different face and goes into prison. So can't wait to get to that one. But
I don't quite recall that. But all right. So anyways, they crash the party, but Lyle and a couple of his crew members are able to sneak away while there's a bit of a firefight between Walker Trevett and two of the bad guys.
Right, right.
And Lyle Eckert and his goons, they get away and they drive off to a farm with some random redneck grandpa guy. And the guy's like, it's like, Lyle, I don't like this. They know you kidnapped that girl. I saw your picture on TV. Did that seem weird to you guys? Because it didn't seem like that part of the investigation was made public or was intended to be made public.
Right. And even the senator would have flipped if he knew that.
Right. That seemed like a bit of a continuity problem.
Yeah. 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 That doesn't really track.
A little bit of a whoopsie doodle.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's all right. They've got a teenage girl in the trunk of their Chevy Impala, and they're feeling pretty good about themselves. And meanwhile, the senator's got his $10 million in bonds all set up, and the FBI agents are putting it in the bag. And one of the FBI guys goes to put the tracker in the duffel bag. And I thought this dude had a serious Bob Leahy vibe going on.
Yeah.
Yeah? From your Radio Shack days?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. It's hard to say. You know, you don't see it in yourself, you know.
Yeah, so they put a little bit of a tracking device into this thing and then
essentially two resistors from Radio Shack.
Yeah, and then they basically cover it up with a piece of leather and they think that that's going to do it. But you know, when Lyle and his henchmen go to pick up this duffel bag, he's got a little scanner going on and immediately finds that there's a tracker in it.
How does he know where exactly it is?
That's the good question. They should have put it in the money itself instead of in the duffel bag.
Yeah. Mm. These FBI agents are kind of terrible, right?
Mm. Yep.
But anyway, he's smart. So he's like, oh, yeah, these guys obviously are going to try to track it. You know, this is FBI 101. This is not my first rodeo.
Meanwhile, Walker's like, okay, well, I'm going to go visit one of Lyle's cellmates from prison to figure out what's going on. And so he visits this guy at an auto shop and basically gets a sliver of information, which is that Lyle talked about someone he called Uncle Troy, which I'm pretty sure the two of us knew immediately. Uncle Troy was the redneck grandpa we saw earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That dude, Uncle Troy. Come on now.
Totally.
And Lyle and his goon, they basically pull up behind a truck on the highway and throw the bag into the bed of that truck and drive off. So the FBI is comically tracking around this truck instead of Lyle and his duffel of money.
Classic move.
Anyways, they basically coerce her into jumping into a metal box so that they can then bury her in the metal box for safekeeping until her dad comes and pick her up.
Right. And she first she's like, no, no, no. And, and they're like, look, we don't want to force you. And she's like, okay. Right. And then they throw a flashlight in there with her and say, oh yeah, don't worry, nothing to worry about, there's plenty of air. And then they slam it shut and she starts screaming and they start piling dirt on top.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty dark here. Pretty dark, guys.
Literally, man. Then Lyle gives another phone call in and he basically gives the FBI some bogus info.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I know you put a tracker in there. And they're like, oh crap. They're like, but it's cool. We got the money, and I'm feeling like a nice guy. Here's the location of where we buried the girl. And they're like, oh, this guy's actually kind of like the gentleman burglar.
Right. What a stand-up guy.
And none of them responded to the fact that they're like, this is where she's buried? Like, alive or dead, that's still like, what?
Well, this is a Walker episode.
You could have also tied her up.
This stuff happens all the time.
Clearly.
So Walker goes to try to find Uncle. He's still trying to find Uncle Troy, and he's just sitting in his office, like, looking completely perplexed. And then Trevette's like, did you look into his juvie records? And Walker's like, oh, yeah, I guess I should do that. It's like, if he was in juvie, wouldn't all of that be in his file? He just didn't look. So, you know, he basically is like, well, I don't know. I can't get any of this information. And the FBI is all like, he basically gave us the location to where she is. And Walker's like, you know that that's not real. And they're like, well, I hope it is. And of course, they show up and it's an empty box.
Yeah. And the senator's flipping out. He's like, all right, man, I trusted the FBI.
Right. Bunch of jabronis.
I put all my eggs in this federal basket. I should have gone with Texas jurisdiction here.
Seriously, don't mess with Texas.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Walker, he's doing all the sick detective work. He's driving up to a trailer park and trying to get the juvie records from the juvie custodian from when Lyle was a kid up in some trailer park. And he basically is able to get the address for Uncle Troy. And he drives off. Boom. Easy. Meanwhile, Lyle and his crew, they're trying to escape, but their helicopter is delayed by weather.
Right. And his crew's like, why don't we just drive away? And he's like, oh, man, the FBI and the Rangers, they expect us to be driving somewhere. They don't expect us to know how to fly.
Right. So the next day, they're out on the front lawn of Troy's place, and the helicopter starts showing up, and they're like, oh, yay, freedom. And then they turn around, and Walker's truck is busting through the fence, and they're like, no, Walker's here.
And immediately when this happened, I said, I think Walker's going to jump and grab the bottom
of the helicopter.
Which is what is it called?
It's called the skid.
Skids, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to Austin Lordson for teaching us that.
This podcast is nothing if not educational.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot, as you can tell. But yeah, I was expecting for Walker, because they always do this, like the helicopter's taking off and Walker jumps up and grabs the skids and moves himself up onto the helicopter. So I was like, maybe that'll happen. We'll see.
So yeah, Walker barrels in his truck, and the bad guys, they waste no time unloading their guns on his truck. And Walker jumps out of the truck and just immediately mows down Uncle Troy. He's gone.
He made a funny sound when he died, too. Did you guys catch that?
He was just a out.
Funny squeaky sound. He's like, oh.
And then the main henchman, he tries to take out Walker with his Uzi, but Walker does a sick Steven Seagal style somersault amidst the gunfire, regains his balance, and shoots true, taking out that bad guy.
Would that be like he like rolls and then pops up? It's like a pop-up pew-pew. Pop-up pew-pew.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's a helicopter, so they got to get the most out of hiring the helicopter guy. So Lyle Eckert runs to try to get away in the helicopter, but it doesn't really land, so he jumps and grabs onto the skid.
Did you see any of them have, like, a bag of money with them?
Well, he was telling the guys, get the stuff ready.
Yeah, he didn't have time. He's just trying to get out himself, you know?
All right, okay.
So he's hanging onto the skid as this thing's trying to take off. And Walker jumps into the fray and hangs onto Lyle. And, you know, Lyle's not Walker, so he can't hang on forever.
Right. And they're all off the ground. And you're like, whoa, are they going to, like, both fall from this helicopter? And that's what happens. They fall to the ground, and then a scuffle ensues. And this is what we waited for here. We wanted to see Robert Englund versus Chuck Norris in a fight. And did it deliver, guys?
Yeah.
Just say they weren't in the dream realm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Robert Englund is kind of what makes Freddy Krueger so scary, is he's a really weaselly guy.
He fights with his mind.
Exactly. And he does jokes. You know, his jokes are awesome. His joke game is on point.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so pretty much, you know, Chuck Norris took him down pretty easily. And at that point, I think the FBI got there and the rest of the Rangers got there and the senator got there. And they're like, okay, Lyle, where is she? And he's like, I'm not telling.
He's like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
So they get him all locked up. And Walker's like, all right, spread out, guys. We got to find her. She's got to be on this property. So they're looking all over. And you're like, man, there's only like 3 minutes left of this thing. How are they gonna find her? You know, this would take all day, potentially. She's buried.
No way. Walker uses some serious magic, as does the cameraman.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you describe what happens here? If you had never seen an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger before, and this happened, what would you think?
He's using magic.
Yeah. He's a witch doctor.
Right. Or like he's a psychic. He's like connected to the other world or something.
Exactly. It's like, we know this is probably his Native American spiritualism that they use as a crutch sometime, but they don't even say what he's doing or even reference that.
They don't even tee it up and have like the flute music or anything like that. Right. Or like a hawk call. None of that.
Yeah, so it's like Walker standing in the field, and then like the field starts moving in like 360 behind him, but he stands still. So I imagine him being on like one of those children's spinning things.
But in slow motion.
That's almost certainly how they did it, huh? It's basically a selfie stick effect.
Yeah, exactly. In a circle. And right. So you're like, something weird's going on here. At first, I thought it was a green screen, but then it's too clear.
No, it would look much worse if it were a green screen. It's some creative camera work. I'm into it.
Yeah. So essentially what was happening when they do this weird zoom up of Chuck Norris's face, he is intuiting where she's buried on the property through some sort of spiritual magic. And honestly, you didn't want to see him do the legwork of, searching a property for 10 hours. So this definitely was in our benefit.
Oh, for sure.
Then he like, oh, okay, she's over here. He walks over to a spot and he's like, everyone over here. And they're able to, with their hands, uncover the metal box that the daughter's in and open it up.
Yeah. And there are like, there are probably like 50 bystanders and only 4 people digging. Also, as Bob mentioned earlier, in the phone call, he says, oh, I'll tell you where she's buried. So, one, they know she's buried, right? Or they know to expect that. Why in the hell did, one, no one have shovels, and two, no one bring dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, either one of those would have been incredibly helpful.
When you've got someone with Walker's abilities, it's kind of a waste.
I still think a dog would have beat him to it, but, you know.
Maybe.
A dog would have heard her breathing.
No, the dog would have been like, oh, Walker's got this. And he would have taken a nap. You know,
yeah, give me a treat.
You know, Walker can communicate with animals. I mean, we know this.
We've seen evidence of this, yes. Anyways, they find the metal box that's buried. They dig it up with their hands, and they open it up, and the senator's daughter's in there, but she's not breathing. Walker's got to do mouth-to-mouth on a minor here.
At this point, I was like, there's going to be CPR, and Walker's going to do it.
Yeah, which, you know, I guess if she's got to be making out with an older guy, it might as well be a Texas Ranger, right?
Right. And so Trevette's doing the pumps and on the chest, and
Walker's got the rescue breathing.
Right. And, you know, just when you don't think she's coming back from this, and the senator's like, oh, man, I guess I'm not going to close down the Texas Rangers. After all, you saved my daughter.
You know, she's alive, but she's going to suffer the rest of her life with a psychological trauma.
Oh, for sure.
Got to be pretty awful. Having a creepy psychopath bury you alive and then running out of air with a flashlight.
Yeah, it's got to be normal, though, compared to, like, just living with that senator as your dad, because there was something weird going on there.
Well, that will continue, and so will the Texas Rangers, because, again, we go back to CD's Bar and Grill. Classic beginning and ending the episode with the lovely CD's Bar and Grill bookends, and, you know, they still have the party stuff up, and the senator's on TV, and he's like, yep, the Texas Rangers, they're going to stay in it, and he's doing the press conference with his daughter by his side again. Has he not learned from his mistakes? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, at this point, everybody knows he has a daughter and that he's willing to pay $10 million every time she's kidnapped.
I know. He's like, this is my daughter. This is what she looks like. Just so you know, I paid $10 million to get her back. We don't know where the $10 million is.
In fact, it's probably an extortion scheme that he's in cahoots with Lyle Eckert for.
No, I'm still convinced that it was the Texas Rangers who set it up. They paid off Lyle Eckert. That's how he knew who Walker was.
Oh,
this is getting deep.
And that's why Walker wasn't at the hearing. He was setting it all up.
Right. Also, that's why Walker took a super shot on a dude's ankle instead of a car. We've seen him take out cars with a super shot. What are you doing going for someone's ankle?
He let Lyle Eckert get away.
Yep.
Oh, wow. This is conspiracy. Walker conspiracy here. Yeah, you don't mess with the Texas Rangers. They play dirty.
We're going deep here, and I think we've entered a gray area, but yeah, this one's open to interpretation.
This might change my rating of this episode.
Yeah, I think Walker broke bad in this episode.
There you go. Fan theory right there.
We wrap it up back at CD's, right? And we get a big old freeze frame.
Yep.
Wow. Was there anything notable that happened there? They were just like, oh, well, I guess we can still celebrate the Texas Rangers, but bump.
Right. No, I was weirded out. I was like, why are the party things still up? Like, didn't this take place over many days instead of a day? And CD actually, to his credit, said, well, let's finish the party we started last week.
Okay.
I never took down the decorations.
Yeah, he's only one man, an old portly man. It takes him a while to take those decorations down.
All right. Well, that about sums up this episode. We'd love to give a shout out again to our friend and collaborator, Adam Lauritsen, who's been drawing the Walkerstrations that you see on our social media. Be sure to check out his other art on Instagram at @ImaginationRunAmok. When we come back, it'll be time for us to each rate Deadline on a scale of 0 to 10 boots to the face, resulting in our patented Roundhouse Roulette episode ranking, the complete results of which are available on our website, roundhouseroulette.com. Don't go away. One, two, Walker's coming for you. Three, four, better lock your door. Five, six, spinning roundhouse kicks. Seven, eight, hear his truck's tailgate. 9:10. He's got you again. Oh, hi, podcast listener. You caught me nursing my newborn baby back to sleep. Nothing like a little fear to scare a child towards the straight and narrow. As you may hear tell, we here at Roundhouse Roulette have pledged to deliver the light of Walker, Texas Ranger to the world. If you listeners would like to join us in our mission, please share the podcast with a friend or leave us a kind review wherever you get your podcast. Likewise, if you'd like to help us keep the lights on here at the Hall of Fame or buy rations sold by Chuck Norris, check out our shirts, posters, and freshly cleaned vintage action figures at roundhouseroulette.com or join the fun and become a ranger on our Patreon page. Most importantly, though, we thank you for listening. Easy there, child. If you don't go back to sleep, I'm going to have to send the boogeyman after you. And I'm not talking Freddy Krueger. Weird. Welcome back. What did you think of this episode?
Well, I had really high hopes for this one, being that Robert Englund was going to be in it. You know, and we have seen a lot of these legendary actors like Danny Trejo, Hulk Hogan, kind of be squandered in episodes. And I wouldn't say that he was in this episode 100%, but they didn't fully utilize him and they didn't give him anything to latch on to. You know what I mean?
It was pretty creepy when they're burying the girl. Let's give him that. He's like consoling her. He's like, everything's going to be fine. Just crawl in that box and we'll bury you. That was the best part to me.
He's like, you got to be okay with the darkness. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to live with the dark.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought he was going to go into like more of a soliloquy, at which point like that would have been cool.
Right. It was just so quick. Everything was edited so quick that you weren't able to savor and enjoy Robert Englund being in a Walker, Texas Ranger episode. Even the fight at the end was, it was just like, bam, bam, bam. It was boilerplate Walker. There was a lot of hallmarks of a classic Walker episode. So you still had the car chase. You had the fight. Were there any roundhouse kicks in this?
No.
No. But there was a lot of action. I feel like it squandered. And I'm giving this one a 4.
Yeah, I'm pretty close. I went 5 on this. While it would have been a lot better if they used him, you know, if we got more creep out of him. We got a little something. It wasn't like the Hulk Hogan episode. It wasn't nearly that bad.
No. No. No, and there weren't the weird racist undertones of gang wars.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But at the same time, there was really, the whole premise was pretty blah. We've seen every aspect of it done better in other Walker episodes. And if you're going to bring in someone like Robert Englund, come on, man.
Yeah.
Give him a chance to really shine.
Yeah, see, I thought everything about this was just middle of the road. Like, he was in it. There were some creepy parts, so that's good. The whole premise was very predictable, and everything's just right in the middle of the road, so I'm giving this one a 5.
Bob, I'm right there with you. I was thinking 5 all the way. I mean, there are definitely a few things in here that were kind of ridiculous, like Walker finding his inner channel, whatever.
An unexplained miracle happens that, like, a viewer who's watching the show for the first time is like, what is happening?
He channeled his crossing over with Jonathan Edwards, and
that was probably 3 points right there for me. Like, yeah, up to that point, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he jumped onto a helicopter. The car chase was pretty sweet. But yeah, I mean, very sort of average, extremely predictable. But, you know, it's not like this episode left me wanting too much more, you know. Sure, it could have had more explosions. It could have had more roundhouse kicks. at which point it would have been more than a five. If someone were to watch this episode and it be their only episode of Walker they'd ever seen, they'd kind of get the picture as to what's going on. He's doing the job better than anyone else. He's channeling some supernatural ability to find stuff. And, you know, he's generally doing all the detective work and kicking butt. So, you know, it's pretty good. And that gives this episode a roundhouse rating of 4.666 boots to the face. And I think we can all agree that when Freddy Krueger goes to sleep, he dreams of Walker, Texas Ranger.
No doubt.
But let us know what you think on social media or by emailing us at roundhouseroulette@gmail.com. When we come back, we'll spin that roundhouse roulette wheel and select the next episode. All right, Bob, you ready to spin that thing?
I'm so ready. Here we go. Yeah, like the Mexican restaurant?
That's true. Maybe we should live cast this one from On the Border restaurant.
All right, this is a 1998 episode, On the Border. When a young truck driver refuses to smuggle drugs, a corrupt sheriff kills him and then stages an accident to cover up the crime.
Ooh, okay.
None of that has anything to do with Walker.
Well, I mean, it will.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. Most of the synopses have the word Walker in them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, maybe Gage right. And Sydney will.
I don't know. I think it's before them, right?
This might be the season before.
It might have Sons of Thunder in it.
It's possible. Yeah, it could they could Sons do the whole episode Sons of Thunder style here. Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm hoping we'll get a little more action here out of Walker.
Season 7 Walker. I don't know. He's... There will definitely be sound effects and probably lots of explosions. So that's I'm in for it.
Every season amps up the bombast.
It definitely gets campier with age. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we hope you'll join us next time when we share our reactions to season 7, episode 11, On the Border. In the meantime, share your opinions with us on Facebook and Instagram at Roundhouse Roulette and on Twitter at Roundhouse Pod, and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your fine podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next time,
may the eyes of the ranger be upon you.
When your Texas look behind you,
oh, 'cause that's where the ranger's gonna be.